Today's scripture reading is from the book of Jonah, chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, isn't this what I've said when I was yet in my country? That is why I have made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abundant in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry?
I think probably most of you know about Dr. Bruce Banner, the mild man who, you know, really wants to live a peaceful life and kind of stay out of the way and live in solitude. Maybe more of you know his alter ego, the Incredible Hulk, who's quite opposite of Bruce Banner. You know, inside him is living this creature of rage. And when he is provoked to anger, Bruce Banner, the Hulk, comes out. And Stan Lee, this is what he says. He says that when anger happens to him, he becomes the Hulk, which often leads to destructive rampages and conflicts that complicate Banner's life. Wow, kind of sounds like me. I want to be a calm, peaceful person, but there is a beast raging inside me that I'd like to blame on my circumstances. You know, Bruce Banner gets to blame it on gamma rays, accident. I'm not so fortunate. I blame it on my own sin that's living inside me. And when I'm poked, when anger begins to surge, that beast comes out, and oftentimes it leads to destructive rampages that conflicts and complicates my life. And perhaps you can sympathize with that. Certainly, I think as we come to the end of Jonah chapter 4, we find that inside Jonah is a bit of an Incredible Hulk as well. This short section, notice how many times the word anger is mentioned. Chapter 3, verse 9 speaks of God's fierce anger. Chapter 4, verse 1 tells us that Jonah became angry. Chapter 4, verse 2 reminds us that God is slow to anger. Chapter 4, verse 4, God asked Jonah, are you right? Is it good for you to be angry? Chapter 4, verse 9, again, God asked Jonah the same question. Do you have any right to be angry? Chapter 4, verse 9, Jonah responds by saying, I do well to be angry. And then later in that same verse, he says, I'm angry enough to die. So today we're going to talk about anger, this angry prophet who doesn't really know what to do with his anger. And as we look at this angry prophet, I think every one of us can associate with him in some way. So four things that we want to work through in the progression of anger today. We want to look at the root of anger. We want to talk about the rationalization of anger. How do we rationalize our anger? We'll look at the risk of anger. What is it doing? What's the danger of anger? And then we want to look at the release of anger. How are we going to get rid of this rage inside of us so that we don't turn into the Hulk? So let's begin with the root of anger, chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. What displeased Jonah? God's mercy, the repentance of Nineveh. And it says, he became angry. Actually, when you read the book and you kind of do a deep dive on Jonah, you see that there's actually many causes for Jonah's anger. What's he really angry about? Well, Jonah is angry about the job that he's found himself in. He's a prophet, which he likes, until God sends him to Nineveh, which he doesn't really like. He's angry about not just his job, he's angry about the result of his labor. He's worked hard, he's done what God has called him to do, and he didn't get the results that he wanted. He's angry about the injustice, the seeming injustice in this world that God is just silent towards. He's angry about the loss of property, death, the plant that grew up, and it died. He's angry. I've lost that. I've had something. It was there and it's gone. And he's also angry about his own physical suffering, that the scorching east wind comes in, blows, he feels this heat, and he becomes angry at the suffering he experiences. So I think if we're really honest, we can really sympathize with Jonah, can we not? I mean, has not everyone in this room, has not everyone online at one point been angry over your vocation? Has 2020, COVID-19, 2021, has not teacher says, I didn't sign up for this. Teaching online, that's not what I signed up for. Has not at some point extra things landed on your desk that says that's not my job scope, and it's caused anger to well up inside you? Jonah sympathizes with the anger you're experiencing. Haven't we been angry at the outcome of our efforts? You know, we put in a lot of effort and it doesn't get the results that we want. Perhaps you put in a lot of effort in a marriage and it's just not reaping the benefits that you had hoped it would. Perhaps you have like struggled and sacrificed for your children and they've just not reached the potential that you know is inside them, and it causes not just disappointment, but disappointment that leads to anger. Haven't we all been angry at the unseeming unfairness of life, the injustices in this world that God seems to be doing nothing about? That's what Jonah was angry about, and all of us probably have been angry about that as well. We look at the ungodly life that seems to be doing better than our life. We look at us being faithful to God, and yet trials and temptation and suffering comes to us, and we, like Jonah, want to say, what's up with this, God? Do something. Turn the world around and make things right. We can certainly sympathize with Jonah, I believe. I mean, who hasn't been angry at loss? I mean, Jonah gets angry, and we kind of make fun of Jonah. You know, he's angry at this plant, but I mean, how many of us have been really angry at a crashed hard drive or a phone that the screen cracked? I mean, I remember being very, very angry because somebody broke my favorite coffee mug. Wow, how pathetic is that, right? But maybe your loss is even more on a deeper level than that, right? I mean, Jonah's like angry because this plant's died. Perhaps your anger does stem from death, if we're honest, right? That the loss of a loved one, a spouse or a child or a friend, and it brings anger inside your heart. Maybe anger at God. Maybe anger at yourself. You beat yourself up. Maybe I should have done this or I shouldn't have done this. Maybe angry at the third party that caused that death. Maybe even anger at the person that died. Like, why were you so irresponsible? Certainly we can sympathize with Jonah. Our anger is very similar to the angers that he's experiencing in the fourth chapter of Jonah. But those are all secondary causes of anger. I mean, if we really want to like pin it down to one specific thing, what's Jonah really angry about? And it's simply this. He's angry because he's unhappy with the way God rules the world. He thinks that he would be a better God than God. And the world as it is would be better if Jonah had ultimate sovereign power to rule. Listen to actually verse 1. In most English translations, you really miss what it's really saying. Listen to what verse 1 is literally saying. But it grieved Jonah, the grace of God, the mercy of God towards Nineveh, it grieved Jonah as exceedingly evil. You see what Jonah's saying here? God, your mercy towards Nineveh is evil. The way you act in the world is evil and wrong. And really, if we think about it, all anger can really be traced back to this root cause, that we are unhappy with the way that God rules the world. We're not angry so much at our spouse or our children, but if we follow it back, we're angry that God gave us this spouse. God gave us this child that acts this way. We're not angry at the delivery guy that's slow or the guy that cuts us off in traffic. We're really, really, if we're honest and trace it all the way back, we're angry that God created all of these inconveniences in my life. Because God's sovereign. He could take it away if he wanted to, but he didn't. We're not so much angry at the step that we stub our toe on. Really, we're angry that God even created a world where there was pain. Like, why do you have to make all of this suffering exist in the world? Particularly, why do you have to make all this suffering exist in my world? And so Jonah knows this. He knows that God is in control of all things, that God is sovereign over all things. Because Jonah, the book of Jonah, uses this really important word, appoint, four times. God appointed a fish for Jonah. God appointed a plant for Jonah. God appointed a worm for the plant. God appointed a scorching east wind. God's sovereign. He's in control. He's working things out. And Jonah, he's quite happy when God chooses to appoint a fish to save him. He's quite happy when God appoints a plant to shade him from the heat. But Jonah is quite angry when God appoints a worm to attack the plant. And he's quite angry when God appoints a scorching east wind that rains down the sun on his head in the middle of the desert. At the root, what Jonah has to wrestle with, what you have to wrestle with, what I have to wrestle with, is God being God and allowing God to rule the world the way that he chooses to rule the world. And Jonah's not the only person who's struggled with this. We're not the only persons that struggle with this. And Jonah's not the only person that's realized the source of my anger isn't these secondary things. Really, if we get to the root, it's God. Because you go to the book of Job, and near the end of the book of Job, Job is just brutally honest. And he realizes that his anger isn't wrapped up in his evil children, although they were quite evil. And his anger isn't wrapped up in his nagging wife, although she was kind of a nagging wife, right? His anger isn't wrapped up in foolish counsel by foolish friends, even though there was a lot of foolish counsel from a lot of foolish friends. His anger isn't really wrapped up in the bandits that slaughtered his animal and raided his lands, although that really did happen to him. His anger is not even really wrapped up in the natural disasters that caused loss to his life, his produce, or even the boils and the diseases and the suffering that came on his body. Ultimately, Job, like Jonah, realizes God's sovereign. He's in control of everything. And God could have stopped it if he wanted to. And so Job turns his attention to God, and he begins to complain to God. And you can read God's answer to Job, chapter 40 to 42. I'd encourage you to read that. It's really, really powerful stuff that I think we need to hear. But listen to Job's response. When God speaks for three chapters to Job, here's Job's response. Job 42. I know that you can do all things, right? God's sovereign. And that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I do not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I don't know. And if you follow your anger, you'll eventually end up at the same place as Jonah, the same place as Job. And ultimately, what we have to reckon with is there's a God in this world who's good and allows evil into this world because he loves mercy. And he wants to extend mercy to all peoples. The evil that was coming forth from Nineveh was because God was long-suffering, slow to anger, to execute his justice on unjust people. And we have to be patient and trust that God knows things that we don't know. His wisdom is wiser than our wisdom. So that's the root of anger. Now let's look at the rationalization of anger. How does Job try to sweep away his anger? I'm right. I'm just in my anger. And by the way, there is actually a just kind of anger, right? There's godly anger. There's ungodly anger. But here, what we see in Jonah is ungodly anger. So God asks Jonah a question. He says, are you right to be angry? And here's how Jonah responds. Jonah chapter 4, verse 9. Yes, I do well to be angry. Now, Jonah's doing the same thing that we do when we get angry. He's justifying himself, right? He feels like he's in the right. But we're outsiders. Okay, we're not all wrapped up in everything that's going on in Jonah's life. So as outsiders, we're looking in, and we hear God ask that question, and we hear Jonah respond the way he responds. We're like, no, Jonah, you're not right. That's the wrong answer. Don't say that, Jonah, because we're being rational about this. We see things clearly, but Jonah, he's so wrapped up in the moment, and that's what anger does, right? I mean, oftentimes anger blinds us and keeps us from seeing things clearly. And perhaps one of the reasons Jonah thought he was justified is simply this fact. God gets angry. Why can't I? And Jonah would, if he thought that, he would actually be quite justified. Chapter 3, verse 9, talks about what? God's fierce anger. Chapter 4, verse 1, talks about Jonah's anger. Well, wait a minute, God. If you can be angry, why can't I be angry? And that's a really, really good question. And I think the answer is simply found in this. Jonah's anger is very different from God's anger. And actually, Jonah 4, 1 to 4, it actually pulls back for us, not just for Jonah, but it pulls back for us all the ways that we try to rationalize our anger so that we can see it for what it is when we compare it to the just anger of God. So here are some questions that you could ask the next time you get angry. Is this godly anger or ungodly anger? The first question you can ask is this. Do you give time between feeling anger and acting on anger? Because Jonah's anger is quick, but God, remember, is slow to anger. I mean, that's what the text says. Jonah chapter 3, verse 2, it says that Jonah was quick to flee. Jonah chapter 4, verse 1, it says that Jonah was quick to anger. God relents, Jonah gets angry. Jonah chapter 4, verse 8, again, the wind comes, and Jonah was quick to get angry. But Jonah chapter 4, verse 2 says that God is slow to anger. And even in God's fierce anger, Jonah chapter 3, verse 9, how does God's fierce anger come? 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overturned. He sends Jonah to warn them, and he doesn't say, hey, see you later, it's happening right now, I'm gone. No, he says, 40 more days. God is slow to anger. So ask yourself, are you slow to anger? The next time you feel anger, ask yourself, have I been patient in this anger? Have I waited before I've acted on this anger? I mean, the reason James chapter 1, verse 19 tells us to be slow to anger is because when we're slow to anger, we are mimicking God's anger. God's slow to anger. Therefore, his children should be slow to anger as well. The second question you should ask is, do you vacillate between emotional states of anger and happiness? I mean, when you're reading chapter 4, Jonah seems like he's on the spectrum a bit, like emotionally. I mean, think about this. Verse 1, Jonah is exceedingly disappointed because God has forgiven Nineveh. Verse 6, Jonah is, and this is the same word, he's exceedingly glad. He's like angry enough to die. And now God's given him a plant. Oh, I'm exceedingly happy now. And then not even 24 hours later, God sends a worm. 24 hours, the next day, one day, he's exceedingly angry again. So angry that he says, God, just take my life. What's happening? Jonah's feeling all of these emotions. Emotions are good things, right? God has created us with emotions. We should not suppress emotions. We shouldn't be Vulcans and try to rid ourselves of emotions. He's given us the full range of, that's a Star Trek reference. He's given us the full range of emotions to experience as humans. But emotions make poor masters. We shouldn't lead by emotions. Because God doesn't lead by emotions, right? God experiences anger, but God, remember, doesn't change. Unlike Jonah, who's wavering back and forth between anger and joy and depression and suicidal tendencies. He's moving back and forth on the scale of emotions. And God is calling him and encouraging him to steady yourself on something more sure than your emotions that are so easily swayed by the circumstances. Settle yourself on the grace of God that's found in Jesus Christ. That when the world comes crashing in on you, look to Jesus, that steady foundation who doesn't change like the shifting shadows. Thirdly, ask yourself this. In your anger, are you willing and longing to extend mercy? In your anger, are you longing to like justice? Are you longing for mercy? You're longing for repentance that brings reconciliation. Because God's anger is always tempered by mercy. But Jonah's anger is devoid of mercy. Verse 1. Jonah basically cries out, judgment over mercy. Because he's exceedingly angry with God. And verse 2, God basically cries out, mercy triumphs over judgment. Because verse 2 says that God is gracious and merciful and abounding in loving kindness, steadfast love. So ask yourself, in your anger, are you ready to extend judgment, or are you really, really longing to extend mercy? Because if we're children of God, we take on the character of God, which means we long in every moment, even when we've been hurt, we long to extend mercy. You know, Jonah's cry is really evidence of hypocritical anger. Jonah loves to receive mercy. He's quick to receive mercy, and he's slow to extend. That's what anger is, right? It's a refusal to extend mercy. Ungodly anger. Like you go back to chapter 2, and Jonah gets spit out onto dry ground because Jonah's the perfect prophet. No, because God's merciful, right? And if Jonah really had a problem with mercy, he would have been like, okay, God, you know, this isn't fair. Put me back in the fish. But no, he's praising God for his mercy. I mean, literally, he praises God for his mercy. And then in chapter 3, God extends mercy to Nineveh. Do we see Jonah praising God for his mercy? No, we see him complaining to God because of his mercy. That is hypocritical action. Of course, I can't blame Jonah. I can't condemn Jonah because most of my anger is hypocritical anger. I mean, when I get angry at my wife, I'm usually angry at the things I do to her, right? Like what she's doing to me, I've done it to her a million times more than what she's done to me. When I get angry at my children, if I put a mirror up in front of myself, I say, wow, they learned that from me. Or I say, when I was their age, I did the same thing. And I cried out to my parents for mercy, right? And now I wanted to execute judgment on them. I'm so hypocritical in my anger. Jonah was so hypocritical. I think all of us are hypocritical. And you may say, well, you know, they don't deserve mercy. You may say, I mean, you don't know what they've done to me. You don't know how deeply it hurt. You don't know how much it destroyed my family. You don't know how much it ruined me. And you're right, I don't know how much. But I know this. I know how much my sin hurt God. And I know how much my sin ruined Jesus. Bloodied, bruised, battered, killed him. And I also know this. I know how much of my sin Jesus forgave. All of it. And I know how quickly he forgave the moment I asked for it. And I know how unmerited that forgiveness was. I know how freely he gave it to me. He didn't say, well, you know, let's give some time for you to prove yourself. And why don't you go off and do these good deeds and then come back and we'll talk about it. No, no, no. It was like, oh, to anybody who asks, I freely give forgiveness to. So we've looked at the root of anger. And we look at how we rationalize anger. Let's turn to the risk of anger. What's the danger? I mean, is it really that big of a deal? Look at Jonah 4:4. Because God asked this question because he knows how dangerous anger can be. And the Lord said, "Do you do well to be angry?" There's actually two ways you can interpret. You can translate the Hebrew here. One is, Jonah, do you really have any right to be angry? I mean, it's a plant. Really? Like, you're angry at a plant? Like, you're angry because I forgave them? Like, do you have any right to be angry? And the answer obviously is no, right? Jonah doesn't have a right to be angry. The second way you can translate, you can translate this verse this way, is, Jonah, is it good for you to be angry? The anger you're experiencing right now, is it beneficial? Is it helpful? Is it producing any good in your own life or the life of others? And the answer to that question, again, is no, it's not producing anything good in me. It's actually producing much evil and harm in me and from me. And that evil makes its way out into all of those that come into my path. Ungodly anger doesn't lead to righteousness. And so James 1:20 says, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Jonah, his anger has estranged him from God. It has led him into all different types of sins. It certainly didn't produce any righteousness in his life. His anger hasn't made him love God more. It's actually driven him away from God. He's run from God. He's up on a hillside, you know, kind of like, I mean, unfortunately, I picture like a 5-year-old child, like up there, like his hands crossed, and God's like, do you do well to be angry? And he's like, it's not produced righteousness in his life. Has his anger, like, reconciled relationships? Has it brought righteousness in relationships that he's had? Certainly not. It's not brought him closer to Nineveh. It's brought him further. I mean, literally brought him further away from Nineveh. He's up on the hillside, and he's looking down. And if you think about it, later we're going to find that God sends his scorching east wind, which is common in the desert, like this huge wind that comes up and the sand's flying in your face. And usually when this happens, you want to take shelter. Jonah's built a shelter, but it's not a very good shelter. If Jonah really needs to take shelter, where does he have to go? He's got to go back into the city. It's the closest place for shelter. But he refuses to do that. Has his anger produced righteousness in his life with God or his relationship with other people? Certainly not. And anger does the same thing for us, right? It drives us away from God, and it drives us away from other people, oftentimes from people that we love, people that we need, people that God's put in our life to help us work through the angers that we're experiencing. Ungodly anger, not only does it not produce the righteousness of God, but it destroys. I mean, anger always is destructive in nature. James 4:1, and James is a great book on anger. Read the whole book. It really dives deep into anger. He says, what causes quarrels? What causes fights among you? Is it not this? James is writing to the church, okay? That your passions are at war within you. He says, you desire and you do not have, so you murder. Oh, wait a minute. Are we really to believe that the people, the Christian, the early church that James was writing to was going around killing each other? No. James is referencing a teaching of Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus says, "You've heard it said of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to the judgment. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment." What is Jesus doing? He's equating anger to murder. It's the same thing. We're committing murder in our own heart, and sometimes even verbally or physically towards other people because of our anger. Anger at its very nature is destructive, and actually the ultimate result of anger is always murder. There's two ways to express anger. We can externalize anger. We can internalize anger. To externalize anger is to murder your brother, to murder your sister, to murder other people. And the extreme case is found in Cain. And actually, when you read Jonah right here, you should be reminded of Cain, because there's lots of parallels going on with Jonah and his anger and Cain and his anger. For example, Cain is angry at God. Jonah is angry at God. God addresses Cain with a question. Why are you angry? God addresses Jonah with a question. Do you do well to be angry? Cain's anger leads him east of Eden. Jonah's anger, it writes it in the text, it leads him east of the city. And God even uses the same Hebrew phrase when he addresses Cain and when he addresses Jonah. He says, "Amar Yehovah Yatab." He says, Genesis 4:7, "The Lord said, if you do well," or Jonah 4:4, "The Lord said, do you do well?" It's meant to remind us of Cain, because that's the trajectory that Jonah is going in. What God is saying to Jonah is, whoa, Jonah, be very careful here. Your anger is leading to the way of Cain. You're killing other people. And maybe we think, well, that's kind of extreme. I'm never going to kill anybody. But there are milder forms that we express all the time, right? We yell at people. That's a type of murder, murdering people emotionally. Sometimes we can even express ourselves physically towards people. That's a physical murder. That's a type of murder towards them. Sometimes we just say, you know, we don't yell at them in a very calm manner, but we say things that, like, just berate them and belittle them and make them feel as if they are nothing. That anger is a type of murder against other people when we externalize it. And the other way that we can work with our anger is we can internalize our anger. You see, the reality is anger always leads to murder. And when we can't murder the object of our anger, because Jonah couldn't, you know, like Cain says, "I have the power to rise up against my brother and kill him." And Jonah's like, "Well, Nineveh's too big. I can't do it, and God's not going to do it." So when we can't murder the object of our anger, guess what happens? Anger turns on us and begins to murder us. Freud actually says that depression is anger turned inward. And certainly we see this taking place in the life of Jonah. Anger has turned inward. And what does Jonah say? "Just let me die." And so holding on to our anger produces bitterness, a root of bitterness that poisons our own soul. And we think holding on to our anger towards others is doing something to them, but it's doing far more to us than it's doing to them. And so what's the solution? I mean, if anger is such a big issue and all of us struggle with it, like, how do we release it? And I don't mean like getting a baseball bat and like hitting a pillow or going up on the, not hitting a person, just a pillow, right? Or going up on the roof of your house and just like screaming at the top of your lungs, or going off into the woods, the forest, and just yelling and stomping around and throwing a fit. Because some people will tell you that's the way you should release anger, but I think there are probably more biblical ways that we can do it. And Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 to 4 actually hints at the way we should release our anger. Jonah has already proven to us he's familiar with the Psalms. Remember Jonah chapter 2? He writes a psalm of thanksgiving. Jonah chapter 4 opens up, and Jonah actually begins writing a psalm of lament. And that's actually the way in which we should release anger. When you turn to the Psalms, you're going to find oftentimes the psalmist, right? Because, you know, musical people are very emotional. No offense, I'm a musical person. And we have all of these feelings that we have to express in some way. And so the psalmist would write, and they would argue with God, and they would work through their anger through a psalm of lament. And psalms of lament always have these four markers to them. They pray to God. In other words, like they realize, okay, I'm angry, I've got to turn to God. So they turn to God in prayer. The second one is they complain to God, right? I'm turning to God. I know I've got to talk to God. And the way I'm going to talk to God is I'm angry. It's in my heart, and I'm going to express it to God. The third step in a psalm of lament is I'm going to ask God to do something. I'm angry. This is why I'm angry, and this is what I want you to do, God. And the fourth step, it's the most important step. We argue with God until we trust God and praise God. I want you to notice Jonah chapter 4. Jonah 4:1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord. That's step one. Turn to God in prayer. So far, so good. Let's continue. 4:2. Jonah said, "Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was in my country? That's why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you're a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster." That's step two, bringing a complaint to God, expressing how we feel. So far, so good. We continue, Jonah 4:3. "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live." That's actually step three. Like, remember, step three is ask God to do something. Now, it's not a very good ask, right? I wouldn't recommend this. Like, that's not, I mean, other people have asked this. Elijah asked this. Like, so these great prophets of God have asked this. But that is step three. Turning to God, saying, "I'm angry. This is why I'm angry. And this is really what I want, God." Step three, that's what he does. So actually, so far, still so good. He's in the psalm of lament. So we continue. Jonah 4:4-5. "And the Lord said," God's responding, because prayer isn't just one way, right? The Holy Spirit speaks to us as we pray. "And the Lord said, do you well to be angry? And Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there." Did you notice what's missing? Step four. God speaks to Jonah, and Jonah just quits. The Psalm of Lament is meant, it's a dance. Like it's like a wrestling. Remember when God wrestles until daylight, and he's like, "Let me go." He's like, "I'm not going to let you go until you give me a blessing." The Psalm of Lament is this wrestling match with God. And it moves from complaint to praise. And Jonah has let go. He's walked off. What's missing is Jonah hasn't continued in the Psalm of Lament. Continue in your complaint until it leads to trust in God. Until it leads to praise of God. So, what about you? What about me? Where are we at in this wrestling match with God? Where are we at in the process of speaking to God about the angers that may be hidden in our own heart? Have we stopped? God's spoken to us and we've just gone away and we are up on the hill? And God's going to have to come and pursue us before we continue this wrestling match with him. So we end by actually turning to the cross. When you think about anger, wow, look at the cross. Here's Jesus on the cross. And an angry mob surrounding him, hurling insults at Jesus. You can hear their anger. You can feel their anger. You can see their anger on their faces. And what does Jesus do in response? Does he get angry back at them? He takes their anger and he projects it upward toward God. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And it's in the cross because, you know, anger isn't going to go away. Our anger isn't going to go away with like a four-step process. You know, just work through these things. No, the only hope for our anger is turning to the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Because it was in the cross that Jesus took the anger of man and forgave them. And it's in the cross that the anger of God that's faced towards our sin. Remember chapter 3, verse 9, God's fierce anger. It's in the cross that enables God to turn away from our sin, including the sin of anger. And so today we remember the death of Jesus through an act called communion.